years, most theologians have assumed that because there were three gifts, that each one brought a different gift, which isn't a bad assumption, may be true. But the important thing is they were wise men. The Bible says they were wise men. So the question becomes, is the Bible true or is it false? Well, if it said they were wise men, and it does, then certainly we can take a look at them and see if by imitating their behavior and adopting their attitude toward God, we also will be wise. There's such a thing as being worldly wise. And I've known a lot of men and women in my life that were worldly wise, very intelligent, very quick minds, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, to become eminently successful in life, but they didn't have any spiritual wisdom. These men had spiritual wisdom. They followed a star. How in the world did they know what that star represented? Well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So they had to hear the Word of God from somewhere. And they were way over to the east of Israel, probably over in what we call Iraq, or maybe even Iran, a long way to the east of Israel. And they saw the star, and they followed it, and it took them to the place where Christ child was living. Now, the wise men did not come and appear there on the night that Christ was born, because the star apparently appeared the night Christ was born, but they saw it. Back then, travel was pretty slow. We assume they came on dromedary camels, which was what kings and wise men and priests rode on from the east. But in any case, it took them a long time to get there. By the time they got there, the child was pretty well up around over a year, but less than 2 years. And so they came, and when they realized that Herod was trying to trick them, and he diligently inquired from them, "Now this star that you saw, when did it appear?" Because he wanted to know when the Christ child was born, and later on, he had all the children, 2 years age, old and under, killed in Bethlehem. But I want us to take a look at these men, not as though they were just biblical characters that you've heard about all your life, but settle a question in your own mind. Were these men real? Did this really, honestly, happen? I know the standard answer is, well, certainly it happened. But a lot of times we believe something, and we really don't apply the principles that it teaches to our lives. I'm not showing you or telling you or teaching you anything this morning that I don't need to know. And usually what I do when I preach is just share with you what I see as the shortcomings in my own life. But these men came a long way to worship a Messiah, a king. First of all, that's pretty wise. If what the Bible says is true, and hopefully we all believe that it is, then it would behoove us, and we would be very wise, if we would do what they did. Come to the place where the king is and worship him. I'm not being facetious. I'm not being childish. I'm not trying to make a simple point. I'm just trying to show you exactly what these men did. They came to worship. And they came to worship the Messiah. They came a long, long way. And they set an example. They were Gentiles. That's interesting. His own people didn't worship him. Yet they did, and they were Gentiles. And they came a long, long way to be where he was to worship him. Matthew 2 and 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Back then, it was a long, 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 long way from the Tigris and Euphrates rivers across to Jerusalem. Now these men saw this star, and somehow they knew that this star was a sign, an ensign, that Messiah was born. How'd they ever find out about the Messiah? Well, remember Isaiah is probably one of the most prolific writers about the Messiah. And remember, his book was written in 700 B.C. You know, a lot of things we learn back in Sunday school class, we never apply. And those poor teachers get back there and teach us all that when we're little. And they say, why do I need to know the book of Isaiah was written in 700 B.C.? Why do I have to know that? Well, because 700 B.C. was back 700 years before Christ was born. And you say, well, why do I have to know the book of Daniel was written in 600 B.C.? Who cares? But you see, if you don't know that, then there's lots of things you won't understand. You see, 600 B.C. occurred after 700 B.C. Here's 700 B.C., here's 600 B.C., 500, 400, 300, first Christ's birth. Isaiah wrote all that. Well, when did Ezekiel and Daniel write their books, 600 B.C., 100 years after Isaiah? So when they went into captivity, they had the writings of Isaiah. They also, I'm sure, had the book of Moses, Genesis. They had the scriptures with them. You think Daniel sat around over there and didn't tell anybody about the Lord? You think he didn't tell them about the promise? You better believe he did. You better believe he wrote about it. It's recorded. Where did he get the information? Well, he quotes out of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah wrote about 700 B.C., about 100 years before it. So believe it or not, they told these people in the East about this coming Messiah. You know what the difference was between these Gentiles and the Jews? The Jews didn't believe it. But these Gentiles did. It's interesting. And so all these prophecies that were written by Isaiah and Jeremiah, all of these, well, actually, Jeremiah was contemporary with Isaiah. He didn't write before him, but Jeremiah was contemporary with Daniel, but Daniel did have Jeremiah's writings with him, and certainly he had Isaiah's and Ezekiel. So he told people all these things they wrote about the Messiah, and they believed him. Now notice why they came, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. Now, we have taken and added all sorts of derivatives that go out in 600 different paths. And we think that that there are other things that are more important than that. There is nothing more important than that. Because if you don't get the worship of God correct, then all the other stuff that you're branching off from has serious flaws in it. They came a long way to worshiping based on what? The Word of God. A lot of people never understand this in life. I watch them flounder. I do everything I can. I pray for them. I try to help. This is it. I can't help you. I can pray for you. I can try to do for you what this book says, but this is it. This is alive. This is not a dead book. It is alive. They heard what Daniel taught, possibly what Ezekiel taught in captivity. Both Ezekiel and Daniel were in the Babylonian captivity. And 100 years before they were taken into Babylonian captivity, Isaiah had written his book in Micah, and all these prophets wrote. They shared that information with the people of the East, and the people of the East believed it. Well, what were the Jews doing at this time? They came all this way to worship him. What am I trying to say? You better take advantage of this time that God's given you. You better take advantage of it. A lot of people won't take advantage of what they have. You know Christ is your Savior. Every time you have an opportunity to assemble and worshiping, you need to be there worshiping the King. You say it's not the same. It is exactly the same. It is the principle of the thing. Now take a look at the reaction of Herod. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Now he was an Idumean. He was king. I could understand why he was troubled. Here he was, and here's this king being born, and these wise men came there. You notice something that isn't written here? They may have bowed down before Herod. I don't know, but I don't think they did. We call them, we three kings of Orient are. Whether they were kings or priests is immaterial. They had such high prestige from their home country that apparently they were on an equal footing with Herod. But Herod was very concerned about this. He was king. He didn't want some upstart showing on the scene, so I can understand why he was troubled. But this next thing is difficult to understand. And all Jerusalem with him. Why were they troubled? Why? Why weren't they happy? Why weren't they rejoicing? Why weren't they saying, Messiah, the Prince has come? Why weren't they excited about it? Why wasn't this something that gave them joy and anticipation? The Messiah, King Messiah, has come. Very simple answer and very straightforward. They had lost interest in the Word of God. They didn't care. They had heard traditional teaching of this, but the people that were supposed to share this information with them, the people that were supposed to take the same writings of Daniel, the same writings of Isaiah, the same writings of Ezekiel, and they had them all. They had Micah, they had Ezekiel, they had them all. All the Old Testament books are finished. And here they are, and all of a sudden this man that the Bible had so clearly, concisely outlined, they don't know anything about him. Why not? For two reasons. First of all, the people had lost interest in what the Word of God said. And secondly, the scribes and the Pharisees, the priests, they weren't telling them what God's Word said. They were telling them things that would be beneficial to them, things that would help them. The priests and the scribes, not the people. And they were telling the people what they wanted to hear, and the people loved it. Jeremiah said, for the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and the people love to have it so. So how come these people over here, these Gentiles, came all this distance to worship him, and the people in Jerusalem had a quite different attitude? They were scared. Well, this dear sweet lady, I hope she's with the Lord. I hope it. I'm not going to tell you who she was. But when I first came here, I went to visit her. And I talked to her about her spiritual condition, and she was of a different church belief. And during the course of the conversation, I said, you know, the Lord might come tonight. You know what she said, her exact words? Oh, Brother McElmurray, let's hope not. That's the same attitude these people have. It troubled them to think that a king might show up. They didn't know zip. They had lost interest in the Word of God, and the people, the priests and the scribes, weren't giving it to them. So they had no reason to rejoice. Why? Because they had lost interest in the Word of God. Just how much interest do you and I have in the Word of God? And just how much do we know about this coming Messiah? And how much are we anticipating and looking for it? But here are some Gentiles. All they've got the Word of God, and they're coming all the way to worship him. After 21 years of these lectures, I'll never forget one time I went to a place over at Macedonia. There was an old man who since died, I'm sure. He was very old. He was in his 80s, and this was about 19 years ago. Jerry Miller was the pastor at Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church in Humboldt. And the first night this old man came, and he sat right down here on the front row. Jerry told me he was lost. Well, I presented these lectures about the end time events. They're pretty horrifying to a lost person. But I didn't think about that night. That old man sat there, and his eyes were glued on that screen. They were glued on me, and he sat there like this the whole time. Well, he didn't come back on Tuesday night. So he lived right across the street from the church. So, building. So, Jerry went over, and I went over on Wednesday morning visiting. We went in, and the old man was there in the front room. And Jerry, I don't remember his name, but I'm going to call him Bill. Jerry said, Brother Bill, because the old man came to church quite frequently. He said, Brother Bill, why didn't you come back last night? I'll never forget what the old man said as long as I live. He had a real long, bony finger, and he turned that thing around at me, and he pointed right at me, and I'll give you exactly what he said. He said, that man scares the hell out of me. It frightens him. It troubled him. It troubled him. But let me tell you something that bothers me even more. You know, in these 21 years, it would amaze you how many times that after the people have come the first couple of nights and the pastor and I go and visit them, they say, Brother McElmurray, I know what you're teaching. I believe that. I believe it's right. I believe it, and I believe it's come. But they said, that scares me. It troubles me. It scares me. Why? Why should it scare you? It ought to be something that we're rejoicing and happy about. And why should we be so afraid of death? Well, the flesh naturally is, but not in the spirit. And Jerusalem was troubled. But here come these kings and their wives, and they come to worship him. when I tell you that you ought to come here and worship God, you probably think that I'm just doing that because I'm a preacher and it's what I'm supposed to do, and you've heard that all your life, and it makes me look good and it makes me feel good. No, I give you my word. Maybe at one time when I was a young minister, I did have those ideas, I confess it. But as I've studied the Word of God and know it's the absolute unblemished truth, the reason I want you down here is because this is where you worship God. You say, well, I can worship God just as well somewhere else. No, you can't. You say, well, how do you know that? The Word of God. That's why I'm so meticulous to teach and preach the Word of God, because that's the only thing we've got down here with a Spirit to help us understand it that can give us a reason for living. But most people are troubled about the coming of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people, we say this country is of the people, for the people. What were these priests and scribes supposed to do? They were supposed to be studying the Word of God. They were supposed to be presenting it to the people. And they were supposed to be telling the people about Messiah. What would have happened if the Word of God had been proclaimed, if these priests had been going back to Isaiah and saying, unto us a child is born? What if they had showed that the child would be born of a virgin? What if they had spent all the time since they were written teaching the people of the coming Messiah? What if they had taught them the Word of God by the Spirit of God? What would have happened? They would have received him as Messiah. But because they did not teach the people what they could have learned by the Spirit of God, they had to go and look up themselves where he was born, because they didn't care either. And the people sure didn't know it. And that's what they were supposed to do. Do you see why I preach the Word of God? Do you see why I demand that the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth be preached in the Word of God? Do you see now when I'm wrong about a scripture and I discover it, I simply tell you I was wrong and present it correctly? The reason is the Word of God is the most important thing that God has given us down here. And when we don't have the Word of God and we're not studying it, we're not learning from it, and we're not looking at the things of Christ and understanding the things of Christ, we're cutting ourselves off from the comfort of the Scriptures. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, look here, for thus it is written by the prophets, if these priests and scribes had been taking their time, the Old Testament is much bigger than the New Testament. Do you know that in the book of Genesis, it says, by Moses, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto the people, like unto yourselves. Him shall the people hear. And to him that will not hear, of him I will require. What about Balaam? He said, a star shall rise out of Jacob, and a scepter, a ruler, out of Israel. They had all that. So what was the difference between these Gentiles and the Jews? The Gentiles believed it, and when the star appeared, they said, this is the star. How did they know it? God's Word said it, and they believed it. God wrote an awful lot of things. If Jesus Christ were to manifest himself and tell you, all this is true, it was all presented by the Spirit of God, and you need to listen to it. If he made a personal manifestation here, would you listen to it then? He said, what and if the Son of Man shall ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I give you the only thing that I can give you as your pastor that is a gift from God. I give you the Word of God. That's all I can offer you, because it's the only thing that's lasting. It's the only thing that's genuine. It's the only thing that will help you to find comfort and strength in this life. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. You're not going to live on this present earth forever. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And all of this will pass away. But God's promises will never pass away. And you better start looking at his word, and you better start being interested in it, and you better start wanting to understand things about the coming of the Messiah, because I guarantee you he's coming soon. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Micah wrote this in 600 B.C. I'm sorry, Micah wrote that in 700 B.C. Well, if Micah wrote that in 700 B.C., and if Isaiah wrote his book with all the prophecies about Christ in 700 B.C., that was 100 years before Micah wrote this. I mean, that was 100 years before Daniel and Ezekiel were carried into Babylonian captivity. So Daniel and Ezekiel had the writings of Micah. They had this. They also had the writings of Isaiah. And we know from Daniel's writing, he even had the writings of Jeremiah, who was contemporary almost with Isaiah. And so how come Israel wasn't looking forward to this? How come they weren't looking to Bethlehem, anxious for the Messiah to arrive? Because they weren't interested. Don't blame the preachers. If the people had been interested, they would have demanded it of the preachers, the priests, and the scribes. They would have demanded it. Let me tell you what's going on in our Missionary Baptist churches. The people aren't demanding the Word of God. They aren't demanding the truth. They aren't requiring it. What the people want is something that will entertain them and help them right now. That's exactly what they want. Do you know what this stuff is? Pie in the sky. Do you know what it was to Israel? Pie in the sky. Pie in the sky. That's what it was to them. They weren't interested. We want something from God to help us now. That's the cry of our churches to our pastors. And the pastors are accommodating them. They're giving them all the things that they can work in the church that will give them fleshly pleasure. And yet, the Word of God is the only thing that lasts and gives you spiritual pleasure. I will not offer you things to tickle your flesh. I will not do it by the power of God's Spirit that was within me, because I've learned the truth. And the truth is, the problem is simply this. People are not interested in the Word of God. Now, this is something that's interesting. Why did Israel not know her Messiah? Romans 10, 17 through 19. In Romans 10, 17 through 19, he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why didn't they know? Why didn't they have their faith in Messiah? Why weren't they looking forward by faith to his coming? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They wouldn't hear it. They didn't want to hear it. But I say, have they not heard? Oh, yeah, the Word of God was there. And enough of it was proclaimed down through the years. They could have heard. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth. It also went across into the east in Iraq and Iran. It was carried there by Daniel. It was carried there by Ezekiel. Why do you think God had the Babylonian captivity? It was to punish Israel, but it was also to spread the gospel in that area, and it did. And their words to the ends of the world, that was the end of the world at that time to them. But I say, did not Israel know? Yeah, you better believe they knew. And it goes all the way back. First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. The Israelites considered Gentiles nothing. Heathen. No people. He said, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Talking about turning to the Gentiles. They were looked upon as a single nation made up of nations. And he said, I'm going to provoke you to anger. He said, I'm going to turn to the Gentiles. And he did. Well, now he's turned to us, and what are we doing with it? Look at this world. We've got about as much interest in the second coming of Christ as we've got in Moody's Goose. Most people out there in the world don't care. But the horrible thing is, a lot of church members don't care either. And the wise men were wise because they came to worship him. A lot of God's children considered a real chore, a real magnificent effort. They give it all they've got to come and worship God. Like little Jack Horner sat in the corner eating a Christmas pie. He stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, what a good boy am I. These wise men came because they loved the Word of God that they had heard. They were led by the Spirit of God, and they wanted to see this promise of God, which they believed was true. And they walked. They went a long, long way. Not walked, but they came a long, long way just to see him and worship him. And they brought him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What are you bringing him? Wood, hay, and stubble? Or gold, silver, and precious stones? Once you're saved, once you become a part of his church after you're saved, God expects you to bring him something. Not to be saved. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. He didn't want anything from me from salvation, but he saved me for a purpose. I'm supposed to worship him. I want to worship him. How do you worship him? The way he wants to be worshipped. That's so very, very important. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So why did Israel not know the Messiah? This was written in 700 B.C. Yet Daniel went into captivity in 600 B.C. along with Ezekiel, and they had these writings. That's how the wise men knew. You say, just because they had the information? Because they believed it. We've got the information here today, but a lot of people aren't interested. Why aren't you interested? That's a question only you can answer. Why aren't you interested? And why aren't you more interested than you are? You say, well, I'm as interested as I can be. You're probably in worse shape than the rest of us. Therefore, will he give them up? Why did he give them up? Because they rejected him as ruler. Why did they reject him? Because they had no idea who he was. Yet they should have known, but they didn't want to know, because they loved their life in the flesh more than they loved the spiritual things of God. Therefore, will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth? Well, he's given them up, and Israel's going into travail in the tribulation period very shortly. This time, she's not going to bring forth a lamb in a manger in Bethlehem. She's going to bring forth a lion out of heaven, and Christ is coming back as the Lion of Judah. Then shall the remnant of his brethren, then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. That's the millennial reign. It's coming. Now, if there ever was a time that you ought to be worshiping God, if there ever was a time you ought to be in his assembly, you ought to be worshiping. You ought to be wanting to worship. That ought to be the main objective in your life. That ought to be the main objective in my life. It's now. Because the king came, and the first time he was rejected. Now we've got the completed word of God. We've got the full testimony of God. And every one of us ought to make a special effort to come and worship the Lord wherever he positions himself. He positioned himself in a manger in Bethlehem. And they wanted to come and worship him. Numbers 24:17. Now that's a very, very old prophecy. All the way back in the book of Numbers. Back when Israel was going across 2,000 years or so ago. And certainly, Daniel had that when he was in Babylonian captivity over in what we call today Iraq. And certainly he shared his God with those people. And certainly he must have taught this. I shall see him, Numbers 24:17, the prophet Balaam. But not now. I shall behold him, but not now. He said, I can't see him now. And it's not right here. But he said, something's going to happen in the future. He said, here it is. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Jacob, the man God renamed Israel. And that star shone, and the wise men saw it. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel. How'd they know he was going to be a king? A scepter is what the king held forth whenever you came forward, and if he held it out to you and you grasped it, he would grant your promise. That's how they knew. And shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. That's exactly what he's going to do when he returns as the Lion of Judah. And here we have all this information. Here we have a returning Messiah, and I have to browbeat you to come to church. Why do I have to browbeat you? Why can't you just come because you want to worship him? I guarantee you, if you come because you want to worship him, you'll come. But I guarantee you, if I have to browbeat you, you'll get mad at me. You'll get irritated at me. You'll find things about me you don't like because I'm your sore spot. I'm your thorn in your flesh. What about him? What? Does it bother you? I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. Is he worth worshiping? Is he worth committing your life to? You say, well, that's too big a price. You're paying a much bigger price by not doing it. Saying, where is the King of the Jews? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Well, we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Most of the world is the same today. Well, the first time angels announced it, shepherds came and saw the Christ child. And this little lamb was announced by a heavenly host, born in a manger in Bethlehem, rejected by the generation. But this little lamb's coming back as a lion. He's going to establish his millennial reign. Then he's going to establish his final kingdom of God. Now, why do you think these men came to Jerusalem? They believed the word of God they had heard, and they came to worship him. Do you believe this? Do you believe he's coming back? Do you believe he's going to establish a kingdom? Do you believe it's important to worship him? You have to answer those questions yourself. No preacher can answer them for you. You have to answer them. And the real question I'm asking is, do you really believe all this? the problem with Israel and the reason all Jerusalem was troubled was they didn't believe it because they didn't want to hear it. Well, do you want to hear it? Then come to church, because it's taught in this building. Okay, we'll take a break.